What do I have that God wants? And this is lesson three. And God wants our praise. Okay? Amen. The word, the phrase, praise the Lord. When I want to ask you, is this statement a tradition or is this statement a command? In other words, when I say praise the Lord, what does it mean? Does it mean to just say amen? Or does it mean to just praise the Lord? Now, I'm not trying to trick anybody here tonight and get you confused, but I want us to think about this three-word phrase that has become ingrained in our church vocabulary. So, I'm going to try and experiment. When I say praise the Lord, I want you to praise the Lord. Amen? Now, take a moment to think about what I'm asking you to do. I don't want you to just respond with an amen, but I want you to give praise to God. Are you ready? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. I'm going to read from Psalms 100. And Psalms 100, folks, is the Psalms of Thanksgiving. Psalms 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Hallelujah. What an awesome chapter. Amen. You see, on these Wednesday nights, I have asked the question, what do I have that God wants? And we started out by saying that he wants us, our spirit, our soul, our body. And then we went to our possessions. But today I want to let you know that God wants our praise. And that is why we have looked into the Psalms of Thanksgiving, because all praise, folks, hear me tonight, all praise begins with one thing, being thankful. Amen? There are three levels of stages that lead us into the presence of God. Number one is thanksgiving. It's an attitude of thankfulness for what God has done. Number two, praise. It acknowledges what God is. And number three, worship. Personal interaction with the presence of God. So let's take a look at these and see if we can discover a breakthrough in our worship. Thanksgiving. Have you ever left to go somewhere and about partway there you realize you're going the wrong direction? So you had to turn around and get going in the right direction. You see, before we can ever get going in the right direction toward worshiping God, we must begin by going in the direction of thanksgiving. Amen? What does it mean to be thankful? What I am speaking of when I say thanksgiving, well, it is pretty simple. It's a pretty simple concept that can be explained in one word, and that is remembering. Remembering. Being thankful means I simply remembering those things that the Lord has done for me. The times he has blessed me. The times that he has healed me. The times that he has provided for my needs. And the times that he has forgiven me of my sins. And the times he has been encouraged and strengthened to face the world. Being thankful, folks, is remember what God has done. You see, it means that I don't become selfish with blessings of God, but I celebrate his abundant provision in my life. Amen. What has the Lord done for you today? What has the Lord done for you in your life? Is there anybody here right now who'd like to stand up and just say one thing the Lord has done for you? Yes. Yes, awesome. Anybody else? Stand up. Joy, all right. Another kidney, all right. Anybody else? Quickly, stand up. Protects us from harm, amen. Anybody else? Yes. Woke him up, that's it, amen. He didn't have to, but he did, huh? Brother? Yes, amen, blessed with his daughter, amen, hallelujah. Anybody else? This is awesome. Yes. Yes, forgave her the sins. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else? Yes. Give us life. Amen. There you go. What happens if I choose not to be thankful for the things of God? Well, let me read what the Word of God, what the Lord says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 32. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to a sinful desires of their hearts and sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned their natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. When we choose to not give all the thanks unto the Lord, we see that unthankfulness is the beginning of many other bigger problems in our life. And most sin can be traced back to unthankfulness. The result of not being thankful is terrible. And look at how these people are described by Paul. Futile in their thoughts. Their hearts are darkened. Change the glory of God into images of man, birds, beasts, and creeping things. They become controlled by lust and dishonor their bodies, piercing the bodies, homosexuality, perverted sexual ways, and they exchange also truth for lies. They become filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters of, and inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. They become worthy of death. And all of this because they refuse to be thankful for what the Lord has done in their lives. Folks, he created us. And yet people are unthankful for what God has done in their lives. Amen. The Bible tells us that one of the signs of the return of Jesus Christ is unthankfulness. And you can see these things that I've been reading here. You can see them in today's society, folks. And when we look at the world today, we can see this coming to pass. Amen. And if you are struggling to praise God, maybe you feel as if you are bound in your praise unto the Lord, then the first thing to check is your thankfulness. Thankfulness leads us to praise. Praise the Lord. And when you look at Psalms 100, verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. You see, praise is the expression of thanks. It is putting some action action to our thankfulness. Praise the Lord. And when we praise the Lord, we do more than just remember or we do more than just recall what he has done, but being thankful for who he is. He is my all in all, amen. He is my king. He is my Lord. He is my God. He's my ever-present help in time of trouble. He is a way maker, amen. He is hope, praise the Lord. He is all these things, and he is so much more. But how do I express my thanks for what he has done? Praising is expressing on the outside what we feel toward God on the inside. Praise the Lord. Praise is action. It is clapping our hands. It is lifting our voice. It is raising our hands to Him. Amen. It is playing music, dancing before the Lord. There are more ways than just this, folks. But if we could just get started with these few things, then we will be off to a great start. Amen. You see, giving God praise with our voice. Praise the Lord. In Psalms 35, 28, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Psalms 40, in verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalms 89, verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known my faithfulness to all generations. Also, we want to give God praise with our musical instruments. Amen. In Psalms 33 and verse 2, praise the Lord with the harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and the instrument of 10 strings. Psalms 47 verse 1, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Psalms 150, amen, 3 through 6, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You see, folks, when we give God praise with action, praise the Lord. Psalm 63, verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Acts chapter 3, verse 8, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Psalms 149:3, let the praise of his name in the dance, let them sing praise unto him with the timbrel and the harp. See, folks, 200 times in the Word of God, we are told to praise God. Amen? But you know, sometimes you say, well, I just don't feel like praising God. It is these times that we must crucify the flesh and offer a sacrifice of praise unto the Lord. You see, sometimes, folks, the voice just doesn't want to lift praises to the Lord. Come on. Amen. You will just have to get your voice to submit to the Spirit of God within you and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And sometimes the cares of life and the problems that we are facing, folks, they want to steal our praise from God. Amen. Folks, hear me today, folks. The devil is not so much concerned about the experience that you are having today as much as the devil is concerned about stealing your next experience with God. Hallelujah. You see, if he can just get you to stop, then he has won the battle. But see, we can't stop praising the Lord. We can't do it. The prophet Habakkuk was having a bad time and just didn't want to praise the Lord. But under the inspiration of the Spirit, he penned these words for our learning in Habakkuk 3, verse 17 through 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, nor the labor of the olive may fail, the fields yet yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Folks, it matters. It matters little how bad this world is, how bad we think we've got it, or what circumstance we are facing at this very moment. But God wants, amen, he desires our praise today, amen. And sometimes you may not feel like praising the Lord, but you do it anyhow, folks. And break through the flesh. David said it this way in Psalms 119, verse 60, 164. 7 times a day do I praise thee. Hallelujah. Folks, what would happen if 7 times every day we stopped for a moment and gave God some praise? Hallelujah. Think about that. No matter who's around, no matter who could see, what others might even think, we just stop and we are doing what we are doing and give God some praise. Now, I know it might feel a little awkward to do something like that. But practicing praise the Lord, it will become as natural as breathing. We worship the Lord. Worship, in many ways, simply means anything that makes God smile. Whatever we do for the glory of the Lord is an act of worship. Praying, reading our Bible, singing, dancing, listening to a sermon can be all an act of worship. Now, however, folks, for what we are speaking of today, we can define worship like this: the ultimate interaction between the Almighty God and us. Thanksgiving lays the foundation of a good attitude. Praise carries us to enter to the next dimension of His presence. And as we express our thankfulness and as we adore the Lord, but worship is the summit of communicating with God. Worship is a supernatural mutual exchange between humanity and deity. See, anointed with the Spirit and overflowing with love. You see, in the old tabernacle, Old Testament tabernacle, there was a piece of furniture called the altar of incense. Looking back today at this Old Testament furniture, we see that it was a picture of worship and prayer. Excuse me. A special mixture of spices was allowed to smolder on a bed of coals that taken two times a day from the altar. A sweet aroma would fill the tabernacle and then drift into the courtyard and into the camp of Israel. That pleasant smell was a comfort to the people that everything was all right in the tabernacle. The apothecaries, the people that would mix these things, were given a special recipe for that incense, and they blended together four sweet spices. I'm trying to say these things: stachete, onycha, gabalum, and frankincense. Half of the mixture was made of the first three spices, and the other half was made of frankincense. Now, the Hebrews were forbidden to copy this recipe because this was to be a sweet-smelling aroma unto the Lord and no one else. In this apothecary made the mixture correctly, the Lord promised to meet the priest at the altar. And the first half of this incense can be compared to our efforts toward God in our worship. And while the other half seems to represent God's part, each of the first three spices has special meaning and tells us about worship. The stachete is an aramic gum or resin that flowed freely from the desert tree. The substance would ooze forth from the tree without any coaxing or pumping. It just flowed freely. Worship, folks, was never intended to be forced or mechanical. Just like this here, this gum, it flowed freely from that tree. Amen. That's what God wants from us. He wants us, our worship, to flow freely from us. It was meant to be given freely from a heart of love for the King of Kings. And no one can force us to worship. Real worship is a voluntary worship. Antia was taken from a grinding of the sea shells of a sea creature that lived very deep into the lakes of India. And when it was ground into this powder and then burnt, it would send out a musky odor. Our worship, folks, is to come from a deep place within our spirits, amen? And when we worship from the Spirit, amen, we go beyond emotions and intellect and enter into a deep communication with God. Worship is the coming together of God's Spirit and the human spirit, and in the highest act of mutual love. That is why the psalmist could declare, "Deep calls unto the deep." In other words, the Spirit of God calls unto our spirit. Amen. Gambolinum, this is a resin taken from the plant of the parsley family. It, by itself, gambolinum has a very unpleasant odor, but when mixed correctly with other spices, it contributed to the potency and exhilarated effect of the aroma and or of incense. Worship, likewise, is an intense experience, powerful and exhilarating. It is impossible to worship passively, folks. Worship is an act of an entire person, spirit, soul, and body. You can't just idly worship the Lord. It must be done with all the intensity that we can come up with. Praise the Lord. So in our part of worship, we give it freely from the Spirit with intensity. God comes, amen, God, now God comes part. The second half of that intense was frankincense. Frankincense came from a scrubby tree in the Middle East, scraping that bark of that tree caused the gum to ooze forth from the limbs. And after it dried, it was collected by the gatherers and crushed. And when crushed, it turned white and the color of purity. It was also very expensive. And the wise men valued it so highly that they offered the gifts to Jesus in Bethlehem of the gift of frankincense. So to us, the Lord is like that precious commodity. Amen. He is the pearl of great price. Hey, praise the Lord. He is the treasure hidden in the field. As we magnify his great worth, folks, he responds by meeting with us at the altar. Hallelujah. We do our part by offering up thanksgiving and praise. Then God blends in with that heavenly ingredient. Amen. We call the anointing. You see, our approach to the throne of God should be paved with stepping stones of thanksgiving and praise. Entering into his presence is an exhilarating experience of mutual interaction. We bless him and he blesses us. Hallelujah. As we offer to him our incense of adoration, of devotion, he imparts to us strength from his Spirit. So let's just say that one time you walk into service and you find your seat and you wait to be told what to do. The worship leader gets up and begins to sing the song, "I Am Blessed." And you stand up because the leader asks you to stand. And you force yourself to push air through your vocal cords and you begin to think, "I am really tired tonight. I really don't want to do this." But you don't want to look out of place, so you just keep singing out of obedience. And after singing the song three times, you notice that the words say something about being blessed. That though doesn't inspire you much, because at that moment you feel very blessed. You don't feel very blessed because you're tired. You see, the hot water heater is broke and the transmission is out of your car and the kids are sick. The money is tight and on and on and on. But you just keep on singing out of obedience and habit. Other people around you are lifting their hands and enjoying the presence of the Lord. And some people are clapping and singing with great enthusiasm. You don't want to appear uncooperative, so you just keep doing what you're doing. And folks, as the Spirit begins to build, you begin to feel the convicted about your ungrateful attitude. And you really do have a lot to be thankful for. Then deliberately you begin to sing the words agreeing with the message of the song. And even though you are tired and you're frustrated, you force yourself to praise the Lord. And although it is difficult at first, you genuinely begin to feel thankful. Your arms become lighter as they are lifted toward heaven, and you feel a release from the bound up frustration. And suddenly you are caught up in such praise that you feel you will burst with joy of the Lord. Amen. You see, folks, this is a normal feeling. We have within us two natures, the carnal and the spiritual. These two natures can often cause us to have conflict when we begin to praise the Lord. The inward or the spiritual man knows that he should praise and worship God. He knows it. But sometimes the outward or the carnal man doesn't want to do so. See, as a choice of our will, we must sometimes force the outward man to give thanks and praise to God. And when we continually overcome our flesh and we offer praise unto the Lord, we will eventually get our soul and spirit into the act of worship, praise the Lord. And if we will lift our hands and sing praise unto the Lord, before long we will be praising God willingly with all of our whole heart. Amen. You see, folks, hear me today. Don't wait until you feel like praising God. Make a decision to praise based on the fact that we know our God is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, when we do this and break through the flesh barrier, then the Lord will pour out that anointing, and that emotion will come as we offer sacrifice of praise. Amen. Let's stand here tonight. Many, many times, probably all of us could say we've come to church at one time or another, didn't feel like praising Him, but we did it anyways, and we're so thankful that we came. Amen. So thankful that we came, amen, and worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is worthy of all of our praise, and I pray that this helped you tonight to understand where we have to get to, the place that we have to get to, because He is worthy. He is worthy of all of our praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.